EN4 News. I'm Katie McKenzie, and this afternoon we've got all of your top stories and plenty of sport for you as well. Carles Puigdemont, president of the dissolved Catalonia Parliament, has said in a statement that he won't seek asylum in Belgium. He has talked about his plans for his future, but what does this mean for Catalonia's? Our reporter Kirstian Wilson has more.
Catalonia's ousted president told reporters today that he won't seek political asylum in Belgium. Carles Puigdemont made his speech after Spanish prosecutors asked for a number of charges to be pressed against the overthrown leader. The three charges of seeking rebellion, sedition and embezzlement carry maximum sentences of 30, 15 and 6 years in prison. However, Puigdemont says the charges that are being brought against the region's leaders are groundless, and he's also not asking for asylum.
I am not here in order to demand asylum, political asylum. This is not a Belgian question. I'm here in Brussels as a capital of Europe. I'm here in order to act with freedom and safety.
He also stated he'll take part in the regional election in December. But will he be allowed when his future is uncertain? We talked to the Professor of Politics at the University of Aberdeen, Michael Keating, who shed light on Puigdemont's current situation.
Previous leaders have already been disqualified from running in elections, so if he's convicted, then certainly he would not be allowed to stand. But once again, we don't know the answer to that question. All of these things are really unprecedented, so there's no clear legal answer.
So what now for Catalonia? The region is currently under direct rule as it tries to find a new leader, but no one knows for certain what will happen in the future.
The idea would be that direct rule will be lifted after the elections, but if there's a pro-independence majority in the after the elections, which is, you know, it's possible, we just don't know, then maybe the Spanish government will persist with that. But it would be very difficult politically for them to persist with that if they'd lost the election. So something will change after the 21st of December. But we can't predict exactly what or how.
And gamblers may face new limitations for how long they can play and how much they can spend on betting machines. And we've got more on that story for you now.
Today, the UK government announced a 12-week consultation which aims to reduce the risk of gambling addiction. Ministers are considering new legislation to protect online gamblers and a new limit on fixed odd betting terminals. We spoke to Mark Etches from Gambling Aware on the importance of this review.
We think that whilst problem gambling for the individual is very much a mental health issue, we know that the harm that arises from their behaviour can spread to 7 or 8 of their friends and family members. And so actually that then starts to become a public health matter. And so it's very important that there is a better understanding of the nature of gambling, the problems associated with gambling when it gets out of hand, and very importantly, where to go for help. So we're pleased about that. And I think also, too, we're pleased that the review expands into online gambling. We know that it's almost 50% of gambling revenues in Britain now are spent online. And so to extend the review beyond simply the matter of machines and bookmakers, we think is a very good thing.
However, some believe that these limitations will not protect those with gambling issues. Catherine Sweet from GamCare explains why a £50 limit may not be enough.
Realistically, according to the data that they've gathered, probably won't make much of a difference. But to reduce the stake further to either £30 or £20 or even £2 could make a difference. But what we would caution is that actual staff in venues are still interacting with customers to check that they're okay. Mm. They're still making them aware of all of the player protection tools that are on offer to them. And also, you know, considering that the speed of play on an FOBT as well, it's important to keep an eye on customers and make sure actually that they're taking regular breaks and they're setting spending limits too.
Bookmakers have warned the government that these plans may result in up to 20,000 job losses. However, Cultural Minister Tracy Crouch insisted it's a fair compromise.
And now for some news from around the globe.
Russia's foreign minister today has stated there is not one piece of evidence that the Kremlin interfered in the recent US presidential election. The statement comes ahead of a US Senate hearing on Tuesday, where Facebook, Twitter and Google will detail the impact Russia has had on their sites. Facebook has claimed that up to 126 million Americans may have seen an estimated 80,000 posts from operatives based in Russia around the time of the vote.
Kenya has announced President Uhuru Kenyatta has been declared the winner of a controversial rerun of the presidential election. After voting irregularities in August's election, a rerun was held on Thursday and was met with violence from protesters, causing at least 6 deaths. Opposition leader Raila Odinga pulled out of the rerun and urged his supporters to boycott, meaning Kenyatta took 98% of the vote, with a turnout of just under 39%.
A nuclear test site in North Korea has killed as many as 200 people after a mineshaft collapsed. Around 100 workers were killed, along with an additional 100 during a second collapse after workers were sent back in to rescue their colleagues. No date has been attributed to the collapse, however, sources claim the country's biggest nuclear blast on the 3rd of September caused the mine to destabilise. A man has been arrested in Japan after police discovered body parts of 9 different people in his flat in Tokyo. Local police discovered the body parts when investigating the disappearance of a 23-year-old woman who had been missing since the 21st of October. The suspect, Takahiro Shirashi, has been held on suspicion of disposing of the bodies. The 27-year-old admitted to killing the 9 individuals and storing them in cool boxes.
And Billy Connolly is trying out new names to suit his new title. Today he received a knighthood for his services to charity, but feels like Sir Lancelot is a better ring to it than Sir Billy. Mary Mulhern reports.
The Glasgow-born comedian told the BBC he wished his parents and late sister could be here to see him knighted. He added, "I feel as if I should be called Lancelot or something. Sir Billy doesn't quite have the same ring." In Edinburgh, Scottish Comedian of the Year Roscoe McClellan told us how Connolly has moulded his work today.
Like I do kind of a lot of storytelling kind of stuff, and without a doubt, like I mean, I get described one time as shades of Billy Connolly by a reviewer, and I was like, well, I mean, I didn't personally see it, but it must have been something that's rubbed off, you know. Maybe it's just a Glaswegian telling stories we're always going to be compared, or if it's just that maybe it's just a bigger inspiration for me than I thought, you know what I mean?
The people of Edinburgh were also delighted to hear that he was finally being recognised for his years of work.
It's really amazing how he still managed to serve the public while he's got Parkinson's, and he's absolutely hilarious.
A bit older now, and he's, you know, had cancer and Parkinson's and stuff like that, but you know, he's still like very much involved. He's more than just a comedian, he's like a figure of Scotland, to be honest.
And I got to sit right next to him, not knowing who it was, and it was just neat to be able to know that someone as famous as I was, that I was able to have that regular conversation with him.
If it wasn't for Billy Connolly, we would still be highbrow in BBC and STV and that, you know what I mean? I think he sort of opened the door for normal people to be on the television.
Well loved in Scotland, we're sure the best is yet to come for Sir Billy. He may once have seemed an unlikely candidate for the award, but today he is only a well-loved man receiving an award he deserves.
You get this pyramid of the chinless, you know. It works its way down to, you know, you get dukes and earls and princes and princesses, but then you get, like, the Marchioness of Breadalbin and the Duchess of Argyll. Who are these people? And they're all picking up wages every week, you know.
And now for some local news. Today, MSPs met to discuss allegations of sexual abuse within Scottish politics amid a wider controversy at Westminster. The issue came to light after a dossier was leaked. This implicated several MPs, including 2 Scottish politicians. We spoke to Edinburgh councillor Eleanor Bird for more.
I don't think I'm surprised. I think, sadly, I'm unsurprised by these revelations. I think Nicola Sturgeon herself said in an article, I think, this morning that, you know, she doesn't believe any party is going to remain untouched by this. It just goes to illustrate how embedded this is in our culture and how kind of acceptable and accepted a lot of this behaviour is. And it really is toxic. And I think, we don't think anybody remains untouched by it.
Police are investigating after a body was discovered at Cormiston Gardens around 8 a.m. this morning. The body was of a 69-year-old man, and the incident is being treated as unexplained but not suspicious. An 18-year-old man has been charged in connection with the rape of a teenager in Fife. Police have said that the 15-year-old girl was attacked at approximately 11 p.m. on Saturday night in Carnegie Drive in Dunfermline. Edinburgh has been highlighted as having one of the best public transport systems in Europe. A study revealed that the capital's transport infrastructure is the second best in the UK, only behind London. Edinburgh has been found to have some of the safest transport and the best commuting times in Europe. A new study has shown that the average Brit only gets 5 hours of sleep a night, with 6 in 10 of us taking supplements to help us get a good night's sleep. Are sleeping aids the answer? Gregor Thompson finds out more.
We all like to get a good night's sleep, but with the stresses of a 9-to-5 job, some of us struggle to get that all-important 8 hours sleep. A study by supplement brand Nature's Bounty shows that almost 3/4 of those surveyed said that their busy lives have affected their health and well-being. It also revealed that those who typically work a 9-to-5 job begin answering emails around 8 in the morning and don't stop until close to 6 p.m. The survey of 2,000 adults in the UK between the ages of 20 and 40 showed that 40% of participants felt tired and low on energy. The research also found that around 60% of participants take multivitamin supplements to help them sleep and keep up with their busy lives. But are supplements the way forward? We spoke to psychology graduate Caitlin Moore to find out more.
I think it fixes the problem short term, but you're essentially just masking a bigger problem. Like, a lot of people can't sleep because they have issues, and that's what's keeping them up. If you're taking supplements, all you're doing is ignoring that. It's like the problem's still going to be there when you wake up.
We also spoke to a local business owner who has suffered from sleep deprivation for almost a decade to gain a better insight into the struggle of an insomniac.
Pills that have been prescribed have worked, but it feels like a false sleep, and it kind of makes you more drowsy than actually getting a good night's sleep. I think if they work for you, then yes. I think it'd be better for the herbal stuff to get used, as you know, as opposed to the prescription stuff, but yeah, whatever works for you.
Though there is scepticism over the effectiveness of sleep supplements, they seem to work for many of those struggling to get a decent night's sleep. But maybe other mental and stress-related issues are to blame.
And now we go to Cameron for some sports news.
Thanks, Katie. The Champions League is back tonight for the first time in 2 weeks. Celtic host Bayern Munich in their second home game of the campaign and their first game in the competition since their 3-0 defeat in Munich. Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers says they'll be showing Bayern the respect they deserve, but hopes they can make the most of home field advantage.
All we can do is control what we can. So whatever Bayern Munich's intentions are, I have the utmost respect for them and their team. And for us, it's about us earning the respect at this level, hopefully over the next few years. And for that, you have to perform well.
Hibs are also in action in the Scottish Premiership tonight and could go third with a win over Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. Sir Mo Farah says he's leaving coach Alberto Salazar because he wants to move back to London. He's been training in America for the past 6 years, winning 4 Olympic medals. Farah denies that his decision has any association with the anti-doping agency's investigation into Salazar. The chief executive of the British Paralympic Association has appeared before MPs. Tim Hollingsworth was questioned by a parliamentary committee looking into allegations some athletes tried to cheat the classification system. MPs learned that British athletes were threatened with not being selected if they spoke out about classification concerns in Paralympic sports. And Britain's most successful female horse trainer, Mary Reevely, has passed away, aged 77. The former flat and jumps trainer died suddenly last night at Groundhill Farm. She saddled more than 2,000 winners across her career. Earlier, we spoke to Chief Scottish Racing reporter Gordon Brown and asked him what Mary did for Scottish racing.
Plenty. She had Scottish owners, and her main jockey, Peter Niven, was born on Tayside. She might not have won a Grand National or been very successful at the Cheltenham Festival, but in terms of numbers, she was quite simply the most successful female trainer ever. She'll be very hard, if impossible, to replace. So I think she will go down as a proper horsewoman who loved her horses and who preferred to be with her horses and actually go racing. Legend does really apply to Mary Reevely.
A legend that will be sorely missed indeed. That's all from me. For more sport, visit us online at ian4news.com. Katie?
And finally, Halloween is upon us at last, and there is plenty going on in Edinburgh to celebrate one of Scotland's finest cultural exports. Our reporter, Jamie MacDonald, gives us a rundown of what the city has to offer.
Tonight, the capital will be lit up with the annual Samhain Fire Festival. Taking place on the Royal Mile from 9 p.m, revellers can look forward to a battle of the seasons as the great kings of summer and winter clash on the cobbled streets in a dramatic showdown. Attendees can expect drumming, chanting, and plenty of fire displays as the procession makes its way down the mile. Those wanting a slightly less traditional Halloween outing can head down to Ocean Terminal for a spot of VR gaming as part of the Edinburgh Horror Festival. Until 7 o'clock this evening, gamers can enjoy a fully immersive experience with a range of nerve-jangling scenarios to explore. Tickets are £10 per person. And lastly, if you're feeling fresh tomorrow...
It's 6:30 in the morning, and this is Project Awesome.
Yes, fitness group Project Awesome are holding a special Halloween-themed workout session on Calton Hill from tomorrow morning. The event is open to anyone and is free of charge with a special prize for best costume. So if you have the motivation and you want to get your money's worth with your costume, you know where to be.
And that's all from us today. For more news and sport, follow us on social media. That's EN4 News. And from all of us in the studio, good evening.
Radio Energy. The sound of students.